This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff, and I'm joined by my teammates Casey Johnson, Rob Schaefer, and of course, Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss Zach LaVine and his first All-Star selection, his thoughts on it. We were actually on the call talking to him, so you'll get Casey and Rob's insight, and also what it means not only to him, but to the Bulls and to the city.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
No, none of that should go live. I would not. Yeah. No.
Don't put any of that.
Don't put any of that live.
Oh shit! We already said don't put shit on here. That means we're humming. All right,
Jason. absolute banger of a question to close that thing out. That was awesome.
Yeah, nice
that
job.
That was awesome.
Got the shout out to you and Kendall, man. He loved you.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. I mean, you know, I've talked to Zach through different channels, but we've never linked. So, I'm happy for the dude. I saw that dude at Summer League, and I bullshit you not. It was me, Howard Beck, Malik Rose, and who else was it that was commissioned there?
I heard Malik Rose name in a minute.
Yeah, and Zach was walking around, and he's walking around with his family, and so was Tobias Harris. And Zach sat down. Tobias Harris sat down. And I was like, dude, that dude moves with an irrational amount of confidence. And y'all know me, right? Like, that's my shit. I don't care. Like, if you, cause you know, when you move like that, it kind of sets a standard that you have to live up to. And a bunch of guys fall short, right? Like, you don't make it to the NBA. Are we recording?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
You know,
yes. I'm in charge. I'm management KC tonight.
Let's get it.
I don't like emergency podcasts, okay?
Who you telling, brother? I'm out here delaying dinner, messing around with y'all. Like, I hope I'm not rushing robbing KC, but damn, am I hungry. But no, like, seriously though, when you dudes move with that amount of confidence, you're like, okay, I can't wait to see the movie, right? And some dudes fall short, but man, I mean, 7 years and the journey that he's taken, right? He was the third guy in that group of him, Cat, and Wiggins, right? Then you get traded, you hurt your knee, you get traded, you come to a city that, you know, loved Jimmy Butler, right? Loved Derrick Rose. The last iteration of the Bulls before you was something that this city embraced. And now with your arrival, you are now like the focal point of bad times. Let's keep it a buck. Like when Zach came here, it was okay. We're rebuilding again. And fans, you know, could easily disengage. And I was one of them. Like I said on the air, I'm done being a Bulls fan because it's not fun anymore and it's a bad relationship, right?
And it wasn't his fault.
Huh?
Yeah, and it wasn't his fault.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but when I said it, I wasn't speaking of him. I was just talking about everything, the three alphas stuff that we had gone through and all the foolishness and, you know, people talking about, is this a real rebuild or is this the third rebuild or the fourth rebuild? So, you know, to look at him 7 years ago and now see what he is now, you know, a lot of guys fall by the wayside because of that pressure and because of that arrival. And, you know, we always talk about the journey, you know, and how much that should be enjoyed. But it's hard work, man. I think sometimes people think that these dudes just roll out of bed and play basketball. Now, that's what your homies do, right? they don't do that. These dudes have to put their bodies together during the summer and work on their game. And don't be hurt. Because if you're hurt and not working on your game and everybody else is, then you're going to feel like, oh, I'm not getting better. you're rehabbing. So, you know, it just speaks to not just the occasion, but what hard work and just putting your head down and not caring what people, I truly believe that he doesn't care about what people say about him. Not his peers and his coaches and the people around him. Like, that's how he carries himself. Like, I got this. Like, but at the same time, to see him arrive at this place with a team that's competitive, it's cool to see, man. Like, we shit on a lot of dudes and we bang on a lot of cats who deserve it. But when you see somebody, you know, get to a point where he feels like he's been recognized after all this hard work and after arriving at a spot, and, you know, these ain't video games, man. These are human beings. And now he's playing in COVID too. Like, we don't talk about the dudes who feel about this disease the way we do. Like, we're dead ass scared of this. They got to go to work in it. So all that, and in this season, and maybe, you know, not being able to enjoy it as much, like, that's part of the story as well. Cause you go into Atlanta and it's open. You shouldn't be out. Are you going to be out? Like, all these, like, he can't kick it like a first time all-star should kick it. He was kicking it like a dunk contest dude and kicking it like a 3-point shootout dude, but walking around like you're an all-star and having sponsor obligations and league obligations, and let's face it, rubbing elbows with dudes that you're going to be in a locker room with as opposed to just dunking on a Saturday night. Yeah, man, I'm happy for that dude. I'm truly happy for that cat. And it may not have anything to do with Bulls basketball right now either. Like, I'm happy for him because the people in Minnesota respected the way he went about business. The people that I respect, like Sam Mitchell and some other guys, they respected how he went about his business, and he arrived, man. So all you can do, unless you're a sucker, is acknowledge it. And I think that's where we should be at.
Yeah, and we're recording this after we talked to Zach. You know, he had a Zoom media availability session after he found out tonight. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, we talked about it a little bit on this pod. And this doesn't matter in the great scheme of things, but I've covered a lot of stars in my career. And he's as affable and as easy to deal with as any lead guy I've ever covered. And I thought he was incredibly eloquent tonight, particularly in response to your question at the end, Jason, and also Darnell at Mayberry asked a question about the journey sometimes, you know, more rewarding than the destination. And he was just incredibly eloquent about that. But I thought that, you know, he's earned this. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And you know, he gave voice to that with a lot of his answers to our questions. I mean, and I like how you touched on the way he carries himself, Jason, because he always, to me, has struck me as supremely confident, but not disrespectfully cocky. I mean, you know, he just has a strong belief in himself. And you know where that comes from? That comes from putting in the work. And that's what he also gave voice to tonight. So Rob just really tied up all the quotes very nicely on our website. You should check that out at NBCSportsChicago.com. But you know, our job is to be objective in these as reporters, right? But you can't help but acknowledge respect. And I personally have a lot of respect for what that guy has endured to get to where he has. And he's earned every second of where he is right now.
Yeah. And in addition to the hard work aspect too, I mean, when you get traded on your rookie contract in the middle of rehabbing a torn ACL at age, you know, he tore it when he was 21, he was traded at age 22. And not only is that happening, but you're being thrust into a position where, okay, now I'm in a presumably a leadership position of a franchise that has this storied history. I mean, it's gotten lost a little bit the last couple of years because of where the franchise has been, but those things are all undercurrents. And, you know, Casey, you mentioned how affable he is as the lead guy. I've only been around for, you know, most of last season, now this season, but when things were at their lowest last year, I mean, he was always the one guy to step up, and he was going to, you know, answer our questions every night, face cameras every night, answer for the sins of people that weren't always necessarily him on a nightly basis. And I always respected and appreciated that. The one criticism, you know, you could call, or I guess in the past, you could say, you know, empty calorie scorer. You could say, oh, doesn't play any defense, like yada, yada, yada. Like you could do the on-court criticism thing. But to me, the one thing that I just could never, you know, I guess stand for or just see where people were coming from were criticisms of him not being accountable or not, you know, answering for, you know, the way that things had gone in Chicago. And I that's never anything that I think any of us have said, but I've seen that kind of out on Twitter. And I think it's people that, like you said, Jason, have been disengaged from the franchise and kind of just see the end result and make presumptions based on, you know, that. But, you know, I just, you know, it, combined with the confidence and the work ethic and the accountability, and, you know, you guys talked about the way he carries himself and the confidence. I think what this year, what you can't help but jump off the screen is how coachable he's been and how receptive he's been to all the things that Billy Donovan and the new staff have implemented. It's obviously resulting in this explosion in pretty much every facet of his game, even relative to a career where he's pretty much improved every season. Like, even in that context, this year has been a revelation to me. So I tweeted this today. I just think well-deserved is an understatement for this. It's absolutely a culmination. But at the end of the day, I mean, he's not done either. Like, in the second part of your question, Jason, you asked kind of what his goals were moving forward, which he kind of touched on, but got very specific. You know, I want to be an NBA champion. I want to be an all NBA selection. I want to be an all defense selection. Hey, I want to be the best player on a championship team.
Hey, and you know what? It was Rob when he was doing it. And I thought about it in the moment. Media day, Casey, media day, back when, why not?
Can't I be the MVP?
Hey, no bullshitting you. When I asked it, I'm like, oh, I hope, you know what I mean? I hope something happens here, but is he going to do the whole thing? And Rob, I mean, in a different kind of way, he did the whole thing. Yeah. Like, he did the why not, but it's via Zoom in his video game room. When, you know what I'm saying? It's not at the Advocate. It's not with the lights and cameras. But he said some things because I think under the cover of, you know, selfish star or, you know, guy who shoots a lot. Like, there's a lot of catch-alls with NBA guys where people who don't really watch the game or people who do watch the game but don't watch players specifically, if you're losing and you're scoring a lot of points, you must be a ball hog, ball dominant, don't care about anybody, diva score, because obviously there's some other things that have been attached to and do get to continue to get attached to the league stars when people don't know a lot about them. But in his sense, I was happy that he did that, Rob. I'm happy that he said all those things because, yeah, you can want things for yourself and still want team success. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. And we paint those pictures, those lazy narratives and those archaic kind of, you know, thoughts too often, especially with these kind of guys who are as open as any league has been. Like, dudes are talking about mental health and all these other things that never happened 20 years ago. So yes, I can get the full totality of you and not have to pigeonhole you as some dude who just wants to go out there and score. Yes, you can want things and also want your team to win.
Yeah. And it all gets conflated, you're right, Jason, by people that are on the outside, maybe on the fringes of it. But the thing I'll say, like, listening to Zach talk tonight and really listening to him talk about this all-star thing all season, you could even translate it to last year. Like, it kind of seems like he's past the whole, I'm an all-star. Like, it's so special. Oh, it's this tremendous gratification for me. Like, he's really, I mean, it's cliche, but he really is focused on the team results, the winning, the growing his own game as it relates to team success. Like, he wasn't someone who was, you know, overflowing with emotion tonight necessarily. He was measured. I mean, he was eloquent and he could speak very well to kind of the process that it's been to get to this point, what it means to him. But, like, look at the spotlight that he put on his family and their reaction. Like, he said that meant more to him than the honor means to him himself. You know, just given how much, you know, from his father to his fiance to everybody who's kind of been at every step of this journey with him, to see them so overflowing with pride about it is what brought him the joy of it. Not necessarily, oh, I'm an all-star now, I get to put that notch in my belt and keep it for myself, you know, for the rest of my career. It really does feel like he's kind of past that. And maybe it's a maturity thing. Maybe, you know, it's a product of just, he's always kind of been a team first guy, despite the reputation. We've always kind of tried to say that, or at least I have, for as long as I've really, you know, been able to, you know, see him or observe him or, you know him up close. But yeah, I mean, that really shined through to me, is just that this is a step on the ladder, I guess, to his league-wide reputation growing or whatever, but it's not necessarily, it ties into the confidence thing too. It's not necessarily something that he needed. I think he's much happier with the 14-16 record and being in the eighth seed and kind of finally being competitive and moving in the right direction as a franchise. I think that's something that means infinitely more to him than, you know, a little star on his basketball reference page, you know.
But isn't that almost why this is so fitting and why it just feels so right? Is that, I mean, okay, again, let's pause for some perspective. We're celebrating a 14-16 record, but if they're in
We're not celebrating it. We're celebrating Zach LaVine's All-Star
game. No, but my point is like
him on the 14 and 16 next pop.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is like they're in the 8 seed right now, and if he had achieved this last year when he had an argument to make it, it just wouldn't have felt the same. I mean, you know, it's a new regime, a new era. The Bulls are in the 8 seed. Woohoo! I mean, let's tap the brakes there, but you know, but seriously, it's like coming in the context of like some winning and some progress, right? So the fact that he finally achieves his individual honor, which is well deserved, while the team is making strides in a positive direction, it just all feels right. And one more last thing I want to say about it from a media perspective, because you guys know I like to break down the media stuff, is, you know, the other thing about Zach is I mentioned his affability, and it's true, but, you know, Rob made a good point about how he's always held himself. He's always shows his face and has to be accountable sometimes for mistakes that are not his, right? He's put in that position a lot, which is, you know, what the best player on a bad team has to do. But what I like about Zach is when he does get annoyed, and he does get annoyed sometimes, he's been annoyed with me sometimes, and I never care about that stuff because that's part of it. But like when he's annoyed, like he's earned it. Like it's like you're like, all right, cool. I mean, like, you know, it's not always just like Mr. Friendly and Mr. Affable Zach. There's times he's pissed off and annoyed. And, you know, I think that's fine because, you know, he's dealt with mediocrity, dealt with losing for a long time. And the fact that he's playing at such a high level while the team is ascending, he's earned that. So good for him. Good for Zach.
Yeah. To that point too, guys. And I'm glad you guys mentioned it, Rob, you kicked it off and KC, you finished it, but you know, the pitch in which he's speaking, right? The tone in which he's speaking is letting you know, and letting everybody else know around the city too. You don't have to coddle him, right? You don't have to treat him like Zach LaVine, the jumping athlete kid who one day is going to, you know, come to fruition. His talent is going to be realized. He's like, no, it's cool. Like, yeah, I hear all of it. I see all of it. Some of it is, you know, some of it is worthwhile, and the other stuff we can still be like, yeah, you still got to prove it too. Right. Cause it's, Will talked about it after the Knicks second half, after that second Knicks game, second half, the defense, the Bulls played, they still lost, but it stuck with me. And he mentioned, like, there are times when teams and players show you something and you go, okay, I know you can do it now. So then what, right? This in that small little moment is, yeah, you showed me you could do this. And it sucks, right? But the fact – it sucks that it's like this, I should say. But the fact that you've done this – now it's like, all right, that All-Star shit is out the way. So now what's next? When's the winning coming? And some dudes take that like, oh, man, like they own me already. And some dudes are like, nah, I'm expecting that too. That's why, Rob, I think the All-Star stuff is kind of measured with him, because it's like, I should have been there last year, as Casey mentioned. It's probably sweeter this year because coaching change, playing with, you know, an incredibly young starting lineup again, right? Kobe and Pat Williams have been added to the starting lineup, a 19 and 20-year-old. Like, all these things should be stacked up against him. He doesn't bitch about him. He doesn't whine about him. He doesn't moan about him. I'm sure he presses those guys in practice. I'm sure Billy Donovan presses him. And it seems like he's gotten to the point where it's like, I know y'all gonna keep saying this, so the little things don't matter. I do have to get better, so I can. He's the poor me mentality versus the prove it mentality part of him, dude. I rock with it. I rock with it because too often, and you know, we've probably all experienced this in our lives, personally or professionally. Like, damn, like why me? But also, the people who are on the Zoom and the people who want to go get something in life are like, yo, but guess what? I'm going to show you, because I was feeling that why me stuff because it was bad. And now I'm going to show you. If the show me part of him is real, and I think it is, yo, he's going to have to ascend even more. And he's going to have to make sure this team wins, right? Because now you're on the stage. Right. Like when you were Zach LaVine, the almost all-star, it was kind of like, oh, cute. Now it's like, oh, man, you're an all-star. So this team shouldn't be this. You know, Pat Williams and Kobe White next to you shouldn't be this. You know, all-star credential doesn't mean you can, you know, be any different leader. But at the same time, yeah, there's gravity behind your words now. You've got another accolade, another personal individual goal that you have achieved. Now, what's next? And I think the show me part of him, if it's real, and I do believe it's real, I think he understands that this ain't going to stop. You know, you don't go to an all-star game in Chicago. You're not supposed to go to an all-star game in Chicago and be celebrated for years after that. I was around an organization when I was in Atlanta, in the Atlanta Hawks, who is a different space. It's a different sphere. It's a different environment. That is an event town. So if you ain't the event, then you ain't popping, right? But six straight years, they went to the playoffs before I got there, and that's what they were selling. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, what's the next step? I think Zach is one of those dudes who realize it's not just going to be okay to be this every year and be on a mediocre team. Now, of course, you got to have the pieces put around you and the architects upstairs that can make sure that those things are happening. But I appreciate that he's moving like this, because some dudes, and he would be in his right to be like, this is awesome, y'all. Like, man, this is 7 years long, hard road. I hurt my knee and I showed y'all that I'm cold. He's like, yo, this is like just the journey. This is the path. And he's going to continue to expect that, which I'm cool with, because he should get it, right? Like, when you see somebody becoming great, or somebody becoming, you know, what they want to be or should be, like, are you the dude or the person next to them that goes, oh, yeah, that's all good, you know, I'm proud of you? Or you're like, man, I know you got more in you. Like, he's reached this, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, all right, so what's next? And what's next is getting this team not only in the playoffs, but making it hard on somebody, making it a matchup that somebody's going to have to think about, right? Like, these are the things. And I appreciate how he goes about it, Rob. I appreciate how he goes about it, KC. And, like, you guys have been around him more than I have. So you guys know what gets him going. You guys know, like, how he checks people's temperatures around them. Like, those things have to grow, and they will grow. And I appreciate the fact that he's carrying it that way, because he could have just had Yaha time and a party hat on during a Zoom and been like, hey, I'm so happy. Like, I know he's happy, but this isn't enough for him. And I think Bulls fans should understand that, you know, no matter how you feel about him or felt about him, like, this is what it is now. He's telling you. And if you don't believe what he's telling you, then that's on you.
Well, and that's why I absolutely loved his answer to your question, Jason. I mean, all defense? Are you kidding me? I mean, he's just finally being regarded as, like, being engaged at that end, and that's already a goal for his, and he's on the record as saying that publicly. I love that answer, because you're right. I mean, it's all NBA, all defense. He wants it all now. He all-stars, like, whatever. He, in his mind, he said this on the Bulls Talk podcast that he taped with me. In his mind, he was already an all-star. So, yeah. Like, this is – I mean, yes, he's happy it happened. He's happy for the organization. He's happy for his family. This is old news to him, man. He's looking at more, and that's a great answer. One last thing about when you say being around him. This is a small but unexplored wrinkle that I have not really given voice to until it just crept into my head. Is, like, I was around him all last year at Chicago All-Star Weekend. That could not have been an easy thing for him, because here is, like, the game happening in his arena, in his home, adopted hometown, in his city that he plays in. He felt he should have been there, and he's got to trot out for a dog and pony show of a 3-point shootout. Come on, man. And he handled himself, you know, you could tell he was annoyed, but he handled himself really well that weekend. That could not have been easy for him. It's just one more thing along that journey that we keep talking about. So, again, he's where he's supposed to be, and he earned every second of it.
Speaking of your conversation with Zach LaVine here on the Bulls Talk podcast, this is the point in the podcast where Tony Gill does his magic and intersplice some of that conversation. So enjoy.
One thing that's really stood out to me about your time with the Bulls is how you've endured a lot. I mean, you've come back from an ACL tear. By the way, 4-year anniversary of that. Did you know that?
On the day it happened, or the day it?
No, I'm saying today is the 4-year anniversary of that.
Oh, it is? Wow. Yeah. Thanks. I remember the surgery day was on Valentine's Day. There was no love.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. But no, you've endured a lot. I mean, you come back from, you know, ACL tear. You've obviously endured some losing, some coaching changes, and one thing that's always stood out to me about you is you've really embraced being the face of the franchise. You've always tried to stay positive. You've accepted coaching Where does that trade come from?
You know, I think it just is playing the cards you're dealt. Everybody's story is different, and you have to go through certain things to reach and be who you are. And that's how I always have been. I don't shy away from controversy or, you know, like you said, if I wanted to take the lead of this and, you know, I see myself as being a franchise player, I know it comes with some baggage as well. You know, good games, bad games, you know, you're going to be at fault at some of that. But as long as I continue to try to better myself and better the team, and once people are starting to understand me is that, look, I am all about winning. All I try to do is, you know, help us win, because I know individually great things come from that. So it's been fine. I don't know where it came from, but I think that's just the type of guy I am. And, you know, I take it on the chin, man. You know, I really enjoy being here in Chicago, and, you know, I just hope everybody appreciates me.
Do you remember where you were when you found out the Bulls were hiring Billy Donovan?
Yeah, I was actually in the hotel in the bubble. I was playing, I think I was playing Call of Duty with my best friend. And, you know, I knew obviously the coach change was going on, but, you know, it came across, you know, my phone. You know, I'm on live stream. I'm playing video games, not very good, obviously, and had to get off of it. And I gave him a phone call, I think, within an hour.
And what's it, what's the experience been like playing for him?
It's been great, man. It's been great. He's brought over a winning culture, and not just, you know, he's brought over a championship mentality, and that's, he's challenged me personally to not just, you know, hey, Zach, get better, this and that, but just change your mentality of how you approach the game and how you can be a better leader. And, you know, who do you want to be, you know, at the end of the day? Like, how can you be the best Zach LaVine? And, you know, I appreciate him for that. I'm a black, you know, very, very blunt person. And, you know, he keeps it 100 with me, and I really appreciate that. So he's been great for us in the group, and I continue to grow with him. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
You know, obviously your focus is on team success, and it has been for a while, but I do want to get into All-Star just briefly, because I don't know if you'll remember this, but we were in Charlotte right before the 2019 game was played there. And you and I were talking after shoot around, we were sitting on the bench and we were just talking casually. And you said, you didn't even say like boastfully or like critically of Kemba Walker, but you just said to me like, check my stats to Kemba Walker's. And I was like, okay. And I did. And they were like identical. And your point was Charlotte's got some wins and some success. And Kemba was an all-star that year. You were not. You've obviously figured out that team success brings individual success. But how difficult has it been having the all-star berth elude you? And what would it mean to you if you were able to get one of those?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's frustrating. It's, you know, obviously everybody, when you put work in, you want the recognition. And I think you have to come, you know, before you get that, it has to come from winning. And, you know, you have to understand that. Now, do I think of myself any less if I don't get voted All-Star? No, I don't. You know, whenever I step on the court, I think I'm the best player on the court. That's just me. But over the last couple of years, I don't think there's 12 better players in the conference than me. And, you know, I try to let my play do the talking. And, you know, if it's not up to par, I'll come back the next season and try to show you there as well. So it's helping the team and helping myself get better, you know, I'll let everything sit where it is.
Do you feel like you've taken a jump this season?
Yeah, I think I've grown each year, you know, and I think experience and, you know, these ups and downs has helped me through that. You know, I go into the lab in the off season. I think all you guys know I work extremely hard, but this year I've been, you know, not just physically, but mentally trying to approach the game differently and, you know, continue to take those steps forward.
What does the praise of some of your peers mean to you? CP3 shouted you out on Twitter recently. Dwayne Wade did it as well. What does that praise from like your peers mean to you?
I think that means for basketball players, that means more than anything. And I think that's the thing that takes you longer, especially, you know, if you get snubbed or if you don't, you know, don't have some of those individual accolades and your peers come up and tell you, hey, look, you're still that guy, or, you know, I see you at this level. You know, that means a lot, because that's the company that you're playing with, and they hold you to a higher standard. And, you know, it means a lot. It really does.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door.
Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Rob, before we through to that, I cut you off as I always do. You were going to make a point, my man?
No point. I was just going to add to that.
Damn, Rob. How you going to come out of the interview like that, Rob? This is an after timeout situation. You know what I mean? We just gave you the ball. He was like, no, I ain't got no point, actually, Jay.
I traveled on the end line. No, I was just going to add to that All-Star Weekend point because it's a great point and, like, I mean, I remember he was getting trotted out on ESPN on national television and was getting fire guard packs chants from behind the set. I mean, can you imagine, man? I mean, can you imagine? It's just unbelievable. Like, there really is, we're trying not to get over our skis here and, like, be objective about it, but there really is kind of like a hero's arc, like, path to it that's very, like, true, you know, story. There is something kind of gratifying from that, even from our perspective of just kind of tracking the whole thing. It's just pretty amazing the journey that he's been through to get to his point or to get to this point. And like you guys have said, you just feel great for the person in there. As much as he is focused on the greener pastures ahead, which if you're a fan, if you're somebody observing the team, that's what you want to see. It is nice that he gets this night. It's an off day. He was home. You know, they're not on a road trip currently. So, you know, I hope he gets to soak it in for at least a little while.
You know what, management Tony's thinking about, you know, all this.
Did you just refer to yourself as management
Tony? Yeah, it's a character, a part of Tony.
Holy shit. that's just gross,
bro. I think I know what he's gonna say.
I'm thinking, all right, now Zach can smooze with the All-Stars a bit.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's Tampa time.
Yeah, it's now. Yeah. It's like, all right, you're in that room now. So yeah. Now you can.
But you don't want to be too thirsty, though, Tom.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right? No. This is the entry point, right? You just got to show them, like, yeah, Zach Levine's a cool dude. I can. Yeah.
as if these dudes have never been around Zach or seen him in a dunk contest or.
Yeah, he's got enough. He's got enough.
Right, Rob. 7 years in the league, he's never traveled to an All-Star weekend. You know what I mean? But no, I dig it, Tony.
That's first date, Tony. That's not management, Tony.
We're peeling back the onion.
after the All-Star game, I'm going to be paying attention to those after-game hugs going forward for the rest of the season.
See how they do? The dirty media right there. See how – man can't even – so if he hugs someone that Tony's not, you know, ooh. I'm hoping for this. What if at some point in this game, Zach LaVine and Joel Embiid combined for a ridiculous two-man game situation and then they hug at the end? How aroused will Tony Gill be, ladies and gentlemen?
I just saw a light twinkle in his eye a little bit. Oh, yeah. There was something that crossed over his face right there.
It could work both ways. It could be, hey, how about you like Philly?
See, that's the problem. Yeah.
See, right. That it could go that way too. See? So, you know, it's a two-edged sword.
Are you, Tony, are you moving to Philly if that happens? Yeah, is that how this goes down?
Man, we do have an RSN in Philly. I probably would inquire.
Wow. Actually, I just watched their game with the Raptors. So, yeah. Good luck with that one. Good luck with that one. Wow. When did you become this, Tony? Huh? You know, hey, by the way,
like,
guys,
Like Jason, when you mentioned that, you know, there's something you can rock with Zach in terms of like how he, you know, moves with, you know, the stuff that he's gone through and kind of persevere. I was thinking in my head, oh, well, my career, I just pretty much ascended the whole time. So I don't.
There it is. Oh, there. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the confidence in the middle of a pandemic when people are, you know, waking up every day hoping to have a job. Tony Gill, ladies and gentlemen, has lock, stock, and barrel, rock solid job security. He just told you. Kevin Cross, if you're listening, promote this man right now because he's only dwelling with us, the lowly podcasters. God, Tony, you are. It's gross what you've become, man. It's
absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hey, man, they should have never gave y'all money. And when I say y'all, I mean the young, rich black folks.
y'all remember the first time you saw Tony Gill walking around in the underbelly of the United Center? He just moved differently from everybody else down there.
You're talking to someone who remembers the first time Tony Gill was seen in this city in this capacity. So, yes, I do remember that. And I'm very proud of Tony and the jerk that he has become. But this isn't about Tony. This is about Zach LaVine, even though Tony wants to move him to Philadelphia already. Nah, man, congrats to Zach. And you know what? Congrats to his support, too, right? Like, far too often we wait till MVP celebrations or Hall of Fame gatherings to shout out the people who have to sacrifice, right? Like, he's got a fiance. She hadn't seen much of him since they got engaged because basketball, right? And you know, the people that are around you are very important. His family is very important to him. He shouted out his pops a few times and talking about the shooting 500 jumpers. And, you know, it's kind of like Kendall, because when he was talking, I thought of Kendall talking about his kids. And, you know, Kendall has a saying, and he's going to be upset at me, but Kendall has a saying, whether it's the 60-40 club or, you know, when he's out there shooting or when he's coming and banging us, you know, in the open runs, you know, messing around and hitting us with elbows and all that other stuff because he's an NBA player, do pro shit, right? And the fact that his pops, you know, said, hey, this is what we're going to do if you want to be a professional. We're going to log these workouts. You're going to shoot these jumpers, right? Mike McGraw asked him about shooting in the rain in Seattle. I'm sure he was doing a lot of that, right? Natural talent is one thing, but the refinement of that natural talent so it isn't wasted, you know, which is a sin, is something that should be celebrated, and the people around him should be celebrated, right? Because we don't, no matter what glory or wins that we get, there's people around us who put us in that position and put up with us while we were going through that heartache. Or, I mean, tearing your ACL as a basketball player, I couldn't fathom, right? I've lost my voice a couple of times, and it done. I know guys who lose their voice every single year, and I'm like, it couldn't be me, because I knew what happened a couple of times I did it. Can you imagine losing something that you've had all your life in terms of hoping that your athleticism comes back, hoping that you're the same person? And, oh, by the way, as Rob said, you're 21.
Yeah, Rose.
But I'm saying, and look at what happened.
Yeah.
We talked about it last pod. Like that is a devastating injury for a basketball player. The Achilles the same way. Like what Kevin Durant is doing right now is unheard of, right? Last time I saw somebody do it like that was Kobe. Before that, you know, and Kobe, you know, was old on top of it. So obviously he wasn't in his prime. But Dominique Wilkins, that Celtics thing with Chris Ford was, that hurt my heart. I am a huge Dominique Wilkins fan. So when a guy hurts himself to that magnitude and at such a young age and still bounces back the way he has, I mean, yeah, there are flaws in Zach's game. And there are right now as an all-star, right? Like there's one or two moments during a game where I'm like, ah. I mean, there's still shots that he takes that now we got to, you know, hey, that's 50-40-80 Zach. So you can't talk that craziness about Zach's shot selection. But there's still things – and he still has room to grow. But now it's not about all-star games, right? It's not about, you know, 29 points a game or touching 30. He'll probably end with 30 points a game this season. It's not about that. So when you check that off, it's kind of like getting, you know, and I don't want to sound like this, but it's kind of like getting, you know, a luxury car. You're like, oh, this is cool, but it's a car, right? That's what it is. Zach is like, this is cool, but I earned this. And now it's time to move on. And I hope neither, because I see Tony smiling and I see Rob shaking his head. So I hope nothing is going, I'm not going to be jumped.
I'm just like, you sure are relatable. You sure are relatable with that metaphor. It's like buying a luxury car.
Yeah, I was feeling the same way, Rob. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I got a 2009 Honda Fit.
All right.
Casey just got cables.
We are celebrating a king right now.
The clown car, baby. My kid calls it a clown car, man.
See, this is why I hate y'all, because every time I think y'all family, y'all pull this shit on me. No, we are celebrating Zach LaVine and his all-star selection. But yeah, man, that's about it for me. Congratulations to Zach, man. Congrats. It's been a fun first whatever half or quarter of this season. Looking forward. Like I'm enthused about going in. I mean, I was enthused about going into work last year, but it was to work with the people that I was working with. I'm enthused this year to watch the basketball that I'm watching. I appreciate it. And for everybody who's like 14 and 16, bro, you know what last year smelled and tastes like. It's not that. Watching bad basketball is as bad as doing like that is the level of awful that bad basketball brings to you is it lasts. Ask KC. You know what I mean? Like KC's seen some awful basketball. It wasn't, you know, he got the championships and then Ed Neely showed up on his doorstep. You know what I'm saying? Like shout out to Ed Neely, by the way. You know, the Larry Christoviacs of the world. Like, you know what I mean? Shout out to Larry, too. But, you know, I'm going to start naming dudes and throwing them under the bus, by the way. But
you're going to make that a game eventually.
Right. Oh, dude. But, no, I mean, you know, so watching this feels different and it feels like a blast and it's entertaining. You got sports radio guys and girls who shit on everything who are happy about this team, right? Like, so a lot of that, let's keep it funky, is about Zach. A lot of it is like a ton of it.
Thad Young, 100%.
I'm done. See, I see this has devolved from the Zach celebration to the mess with Jason portion of the podcast, so we'll put that on Patreon or something. We'll put that on a pay site. But other than that, fellas, as we go, any parting shots?
Shout out Julius Randle, another first timer that he's another guy that really took a major leap this year that I thought might get overlooked.
For sure.
And I thought that was cool. I thought it was cool that he's in there too. So yeah.
I mean, look at that East bench, though. Like, you got Jaylen Brown. Like, if you're James Harden, you're like, I should have got over here sooner. Because
we should all name our biggest snub, by the way, because now that Zach is not in that group, there are lots of them to me in the East. So let's see if we have we actually could probably come up with four different ones. So I'll start. It's close. You know, I get the Jimmy argument, but to me, he missed so much time, and the Heat have underwhelmed. Obviously, he's playing at such an elite level. I mean, he is a top 10, 15 player in the league, but as far as this season itself, biggest snub is going to be I don't want to take Rob's guy. So
I'm not going to take the guy you think I'm going to.
Oh, okay.
I think there's one even above him, for me at least.
All right, because I'm going to go with either – Bam or Chris Middleton, and I'm going to take Bam.
Mine is Bam.
Oh, okay. Then we got one.
Well, you guys know I love Chris Middleton, but the thing about calling someone a snub is you then have to name who they should have gotten in over. And when you look at the actual team itself, I don't know who I'm putting Chris Middleton in over.
I would put Bam over Vucevic. Who is a great player. Don't get me wrong, but that's a good call. You got to say who's replacing. Wow. Rob and I come up with too many of the same answers, man. I don't like it.
Almost like we work together and are in communication 23.9 hours out of the day.
Yeah, so we both have Bam in over Vucevic. How about you guys? Management Tony, can we go to you next?
I didn't have a problem with anybody in the East. Like I it was the Devin Booker thing. That was me. That was my only issue.
But
I was good. Like Vucevic is gonna make every all-star reserve until he retires because coaches love him. Like I just feel like he's going to get every coach's go ahead. I like the way he plays basketball. I think he's a really good basketball player. If he was on any good team, we'd be talking about him as, you know, a perennial all-star. But yeah, I was good. Like, I don't think anybody got snubbed. Miami's underwhelmed. You don't get to be here. You don't get to be in this game. So is Atlanta. Like, I'm afraid they're going to fire Lloyd Pierce after this season. That's because of how underwhelming.
Might not be after, Tony.
Because, like, usually when you make an all-star that young and start, like, with Trae Young, you usually stay there. But, like, for him to not go this year, like, it wasn't a surprise just because how bad they've been playing. But that was interesting. But I'm good with all the picks.
Yeah, I'm similar to Tony. The only thing that I would have liked to have seen, I don't know if it's more deserved or anything, but I would have liked to have seen Mike Conley make his first
All-Star 100%. Game. I was going to say the same thing, 100%.
And Chris Paul's definitely had an effect on the Phoenix Suns, but I would have liked to have seen the guy with the best record in the league. Utah's got the best record in the league, right?
Yeah. Dominant.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen the point guard for the best the team with the best record in the league. And I know he's missed time over his last couple years, missed time this year as well, but yeah, he's 33. This might be the last chance, man. So that would have been it, but I'm not mad at any of it. Guys have incentives written into their contract, so I know how serious it is. Like, talking about some guys, millions of dollars, who if they don't get an all-star berth, you're losing out on. But if anybody, it would have been Mike Conley. I'm like Tony. I don't have too much of a problem with the selections.
One of those guys is getting in though with the injury replacement, right? Booker or Conley? I would guess Booker.
Yeah. Booker's what, 25 a game? He's like what, 59% true shooter? Something crazy.
He's hooping.
Yeah, no. Devin, listen, Bradley Beal and Devin Booker, like, for all my Keith Van Horns and Tim Duncans, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, both of those guys. I told Agre Sam that Bradley Beal was going to be cold, and he was like, I don't see it. And then with Devin Booker, when he was coming off the bench in Kentucky, people was talking crazy. I'm like, no, the guy on that team is the dude who's, the dude who doesn't need to be here, right? And I'm happy to see it. But, he'll get his chance. He'll get his shots, but – Maybe somebody's gonna have to move around a little bit. Paul George, how y'all feel about that?
He's been awesome this season, isn't he? Over 45% from three, and I know he's missed some time, but
statistically, like, he's basically Kawhi. If you look at the numbers, Kawhi is just averaging a couple more points than him.
I guess I'm just done.
Yeah,
I guess, you know what I'm saying. Like, I guess I'm just done.
No, it's just tough. Well, it's tough. The other thing is with the sample being a little smaller this year, all these guys are between 25 and 30 games. There are just so many more candidates. So, as much as I say, Bam, and I'm sure Casey, you agree with this, like, I'm not saying it's a crime against humanity. Like, I love Vooch and I'm totally good with that. But
that
would be the one if I had to name one. But Conley, you talk about the human aspect of this stuff. It'll just stink if he makes it his entire NBA career and doesn't make
it. No, it won't. That man got $152 million that nobody else did.
I know.
That man got that max. He got that Joe Johnson money. So no, it won't stink. Now I feel you though, Rob.
Those guys that you grow up watching and they're so like consummate professional, but are always a little bit overlooked. Like, you just want them to get their just due 1 year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's my favorite garage band that never got to play an arena. You know what I mean? Like, that's
maybe they'll give him the dirt Vince Carter nod.
Nah, because you don't want that.
You gotta make a couple before you get there.
No, and you gotta be phenomenal. Like
you're talking about really good for a really long time.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you can't get the Vinny Testaverde Award. Get out of here, dog. What are you talking about? Hey, Rob, Vinny Testaverde was a quarterback who played in the
Vinny Testaverde.
Okay. All right, my bad. I was just making sure, brother. Just making sure. You know what I love to see too is how everybody's like glomming on to their favorite person in this pod. Like, we finally reached, we're not doing the nerd shit everybody else is doing now, where it's just, hey, what'd you think of that pick and roll that the Bulls ran last night? We're actually like talking about things that we care about inside of the story that is the Bulls. And on top of that, people are like, I don't really rock with Tony as much as, I'm like, oh, isn't that cute?
neither do we. So we all
and then the ladies love Rob. Anytime I do one of these, anytime I take a picture and say it's loading, they are putting on their makeup, getting ready to text Rob or jump in Rob's DMs, and I tell them, hey, ladies, he's taken.
I don't know where you keep seeing that, and you're trying to get me hung up. Every episode, it feels like we hit the let's get Rob hung up portion, and that's when we made it to wrap it up.
Rob, did y'all listen to this podcast?
What'd you say?
Did she listen to this podcast?
No. And if she did, I don't think she'd make it this far. But
see what Zach LaVine getting his first All-Star nod does to the pod. This is two pods in a row where we've been overwhelmingly positive. So next pod, let's come in here and just tear apart Let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about the defense.
I hate to break it to you. The defense
top 10 the last 12 games, man.
I hate to break it to you.
No. Guys. The people who have to stay angry about the Bulls have to stay angry about the Bulls. So let's pretend like the defense isn't getting better too, okay? Roll with me on this. We got to keep the angries engaged, okay? I got
well, let's see. Maybe it'll fall right into our lap. They got Minnesota tomorrow. Maybe it'll fall right into our lap.
Here come 135 points.
Yeah. We'll see. Billy, it is funny that Billy Donovan is saying, even as he's talking about, oh, we're not turning the ball over as much lately. We're getting a little bit better defensively. He's saying in the same breath, I don't want to jinx it. Like it is that really offers you a window into kind of the growth of this team. Yeah.
And also the reliability and trust of this team still. Like, I feel like every game, like they just had their first laugher and every game's like, whoo, that was close, wasn't it? Like, yeah, no, all of them are close. They need to stop being close against bad teams. You know what I mean? Like, oh, see, there it is. We brought the haters back. Yeah, we brought the angries back just now with the last 90 seconds or so. All right, I got dinner to eat. Zach LaVine is not going to ruin my dinner. So I appreciate you guys. Congratulations once again to Zach LaVine and many more, man. He handled it like a G, and I think that is going to be the common refrain going forward. And on top of it, he's got young dudes seeing how he does his thing and how he's rewarded in their presence, right? He didn't have to get traded and then be an all-star for Kobe White and Pat Williams to say, yo, I played with a guy who, you know, took when I got here, was getting beat up pretty good, and now he's risen to a level that people respect around the league. And I think that shouldn't go understated, because if he's not a very vocal leader and he's a show by example guy, there's no better example than showing young dudes the fruits of your labor, like Tony Gill rolling up in a luxury car 5 years from now on whatever block he used to hang on. You know what I'm saying? That's the Zach LaVine effect right there, ladies and gentlemen. So for Casey Johnson, Rob Schaefer, and Management Tony, I am Jason Goff. Thank you so much for listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. We hope you enjoy the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your smart speakers out there. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us because you know you love us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning or when there's an emergency pod that has to be done like this one. So stay tuned. And as always, take care of each other and be safe.